chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. When Peter, James, John, and Jesus returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son to you so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer."
...2015. What in the world are we going to encounter this year? Well, I wish I'd thought it earlier to make a slide of it. I came across this graphic in the recent Time issue, the fear indexed. Now, at the top is mild fear. At the bottom of the graphic is intense fear. And from the inside out, it attempts to measure the life-altering effects. Now, starting with the mild fears, least life-altering, there's going to be a full-length Frozen sequel. Aren't you glad to know that? Emma will be pleased. Well, on the other side, a little further on life, the rapture is predicted for September 23rd. Are y'all ready? Bring it on. A little more intense, teen car crashes will increase. Another government shutdown is always possible. Moving on down in intensity, more auto recalls, possible eruption of Mount Fuji, more solar flares. As it gets more and more intense, potential of armed conflict, and we see that all the time. But now here is the most intense one of all. Are you ready? This one to be a fear of. Chocolate shortage. Can you imagine? Here's the news. Thanks to drought, demand for cocoa is forecast to outpace supply with a deficit cut of 1 million metric tons by 2020. We are in deep trouble, folks. Are you ready? Well, 2015, what will we encounter? What's going to keep us centered? New Year's Day is a great opportunity just to take time to step back and say, who am I? And using that book that we've been using all last fall and will continue as we move into the winter, saints, you are saints, Christians. You have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have already put on the new self, which is being renewed constantly in knowledge, in the image of your Creator. That's who you are. It's a time to renew our faith in Christ Jesus as Lord of our lives. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will prove God's good, acceptable, perfect will for you. Be transformed. Constant. Again, it's the verb tense there is, and voices, one that's ongoing, constant, day by day. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, yeah, there's point of... Think about the plans God has for you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's design. Time to just step back. Think about God's plan for you. There are a lot of things we just don't know what to expect, is it? God has a plan. Oh, set some goals. The Proverbs say those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. But all things being normal, our plans and dreams will encounter challenges and obstacles. Sort of like this slide, it doesn't always fit the screen well. The Proverbs, and later the writer Apostle James, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. January 1st of 2014, I would have never dreamed of developing bladder cancer. That was not. And what's worse, I just really confused my poor urologist. He said the two main causes of this kind of tumor is smoking and working in chemical plants, and I've done neither. At one point, he said, "You're my problem patient," or did he say my problem child? I don't know what it is. It was something like that. We just really don't know what next year brings, do we? But it's in the middle of this we hear a call to prayer from Jesus. And my major theme this morning is a call to prayer. An invitation from Jesus to prayer. I don't have a whole bunch of neat points, just Jesus' invitation. In Jesus' invitation to prayer, he invites us to pray. Kathy read a moment ago about the story of a desperate father who had a demon-possessed boy and intimidated disciples. It's an illustration of losing sight of who we are and the resources God has already granted us to deal with the challenges of life. Oh, there are some people, they're strategic in their thinking, and they've got a plan for the year. I've got some good ideas and some thoughts and some things, and I've got some plans laid out, but, you know, there's a lot of things I just don't know. This story is a call to prayer that keeps us centered in Jesus. There's just three major points or parts of this story that are important. First is Jesus diagnoses their inability to cast out the demons as a lack of faith. You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. You almost hear frustration in the voice of Jesus, don't you? I don't rather read it, how long, or he says, guys, how long? You see, Jesus had empowered and authorized those disciples to cast out demons and heal diseases as he had sent them out earlier on a mission trip to promote the kingdom of God. He had given them the power. They had it. They had authorization. Wow. Lack of faith is a problem. But then he says, anything is possible if you believe. Matthew's account of this story has this statement from Jesus. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you can command this mountain to be removed. That's not much. The issue isn't how much faith. The issue is where's it hitched? You can say to this mountain, move from here to there. Nothing is impossible. For us today, I need to make a little clarification. Faith in the New Testament, it's always faith in Christ. If you don't have faith in Christ, you don't have faith. See, God is the main character of Scripture. As we move into a day and understand the meaning of the word faith, we live in a world in which everyone has faith in something or someone. That something or someone is what defines your life and shapes your values. And so as we move into our own day, it's faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. In the intensity of the moment, the confrontation with the opponents of Jesus, the growing crowd, the disciples lost track of who they were, and they lost track of the power Jesus had given them. Tim Keller, apologist, American pastor, writer, says, it's not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that actually saves you. It's not the strength of your faith. It's the object. Where is it placed? And see, when we get caught up and intimidated by the world around us, we lose track of who Jesus is. That's why the Scripture says, observe the Sabbath day, make it holy. Why? Because you're going to be in a world, and as finite people, you're going to lose track of who you are. Get off of the pride kick. Remember what I said in the call to worship? Pride goes before. What precedes a fall? You got it very well. Doing good. A for that moment. Why do we need regular worship? To be reminded that the Lord is God. Book of Exodus, Book of Ezekiel, very clear, very prominent. Sabbath is more than just take a rest. Rest is there. Rest from their duties. Rest to do something. To recenter, remind who we are. We are called to maintain faith in Christ Jesus as Lord. So it's more than just believe. Scripture says even the demons believe in Jesus. Believing in Him as Lord. There is the defining difference. You can argue about the lordship of Jesus, but are you submitting to Him as Lord? There is the critical difference. Is He Lord? Of your life. We are called to maintain faith in Jesus as Lord. But there's a third aspect of this story that's important. It's an invitation to and a lesson about prayer. Jesus said in verse 29, according to Mark, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. This phrase caught me this week. I don't know. This kind. Jesus had taken his disciples, got away from the crowd, debriefing time. And they're able to ask, okay, what happened, Lord? Faith. If you have faith, just, you know. But then he makes this comment. This kind. This, you know. I can't find anybody that can support my thinking. I've looked at some commentaries, but as I read this, there was something that grabbed me about this phrase, this kind. Well, was this situation more difficult? Was the condition of the boy more intense? Was the presence of the crowd? There's something about this situation that called for genuine, focused, centered faith in Jesus as Lord. Sometimes I look at the story and I wonder if the disciples sort of had a faith freeze moment. You know, how many of us have had brain freeze moments? Somebody comes up and you know them, but you can't think of their name. Sometimes we call them senior moments. Faith freeze moments. They come abound. But they seem to come in those moments when the situations are extremely intense. This kind can be cast out only by prayer. See, in reality, we encounter situations that are extremely complex and difficult. I know there's some people that want, well, it's just so simple. I don't know. Maybe it's age. Quint, maybe you can help me out sometime. Things aren't simple for me anymore. Life is complex. You see, we're vulnerable to fatigue. Limited knowledge, discouragement. That's not sinful. That's not sin nature. That's called finiteness. God created us that way. It's a reality of life. Disease, storm, evil pervade our world and intimidate us. One of the headlines in paper today is 26 murders in the mid-state this last year. 26. And just another article that just really gets me as I think about that. National World News. Collateral damage. Kids growing up in crime-ridden neighborhoods. Sleep interrupted by sirens and the sound of gunshots and the families of murdered victims. And indications of PTSD, post-traumatic syndrome in children in these high crime areas of our world. Folks, sometimes we generally talk about ISIS and the world out there, and that's ugly. But do you realize that in our own part of our world, our city, our area where we live, high crime. Disease, storm, evil pervade our world. And folks, I don't know about you, they intimidate me. Faith in God gets diluted in fear, self-pity, and a deep sense of inadequacy. I understand those disciples intimidated by the crowd. I've said it so many times, but it hooks me. The story of Jesus confronted by this crowd bringing a woman caught in adultery, and the law says, stone her. And so if he doesn't, he's not following the law. And if he does, something happens to his message of grace. And in the middle of the intimidation and the complexity, Jesus sort of kneels down and he takes time to scratch in the sand. I still personally think it's time he's counting to 10. Take a breath. He gets in. See, even Jesus got intimidated. The disciples got intimidated. And then he stands up and he says, tell you what. Yeah, she's wrong. The one of you that don't have sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone. Isn't that interesting? Faith in God gets to lose. These are the realities we deal with day in and day out. We were created as finite beings. We weren't created with perfect knowledge of everything. And these are realities of life. So can you empathize with Dad, a little boy, teacher, an evil spirit that won't let him talk, possesses my boy? Can you hear it? My boy. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and he becomes rigid. Can you feel his pain and his anguish? So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. If you can, would you have mercy and help us? Do you feel that someday? Some things only come by prayer. In the middle of the anguish and the heartache, the disappointment. That's in this place. Jesus says, if I can't. And so the Father, hear it. The pathos. I do believe. Lord, help my unbelief. If you can, all things are possible for those who believe. It calls for the ongoing daily responding to God. So what are our stumbling blocks and distractions? Well, what they were yesterday may not be the same what they are next week. Intimidation. The world around us with its systemic issues, family, jobs, finances, destructive habits, pride. Oh, we're all vulnerable to it. Says the Proverbs, they go before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Well, what about busy schedules that crowd out prayer and spiritual disciplines? Some days you're just so stinking tired. Prayer at night, it's sort of, oh, Lord, help me as you pass out. And then the alarm goes off. You're doing pretty much all you can do to just crawl out of bed. And fortunately, you get dressed before you go out the door. Busy schedules. Anger. Well, the truth is, you know, if you're alive and have a pulse, somebody's going to do something that triggers you. Says the scripture, both the Psalms and Ephesians. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. You're going to have moments that trigger your defense mechanisms. That's called life. The question isn't if I get, some people say, well, does that mean I don't have, still have sin nature? You're human. You got a defense mechanism. And there's some things that should anger you. The systemic issues that are so anti-child in our life should anger us. The evil in our world and the injustice, corruption in our court systems in Pennsylvania makes me angry. And it should you too. The question is, what are we going to do about it? The question isn't going to be, are you angry? The question isn't whether you're human. The question isn't whether you care. The question isn't whether you're alive. The question is, what are you going to do with it? These are stumbling blocks. These are the things that tend to distract us. But folks, the primary danger is not those things. We underestimate the power and presence of Satan. I find it interesting. The evil spirits were not afraid of the disciples, and they're not afraid of us. You got it? Yeah. To you. But when they encountered Jesus, Mark says, they fell down before him and cried out, "You're the Son of God." They knew that when Jesus spoke, it made a difference. The Apostle Peter, who was with him that day, said, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil." I know there's a lot of debate. Is he a real person? Is he just a spirit or whatever he is? And I've got, I understand, there's some good scholars on both sides. You can argue that one until you're blue in the face. Here's what Peter says. You be alert to him. Whether it's a nature, a spirit, or a reality, folks, you better be alert to it because he prowls like a lion. And he's looking for people to devour. And a friend of mine who was able go on some safaris and some trips in Africa says he learned something. The lion doesn't go after the strong ones in the middle of the pack. The lion prowls for the one that's hanging out at the edge, that doesn't want to get involved, the sickly one. That's the one the lion goes for. Bang. How's your worship habits? You better off by yourself? No, you're not. Your prime taken. St. Paul puts it this way, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies, not of the world, but of the devil. This kind can only be cast out by prayer. It's a vital practice for our lives. It's necessary to keep us centered. Prayer in the life of Jesus, Mark identifies several passages. Jesus was a man of prayer. He constantly got away to pray. You know, if he had to do it, I need to do it more. It's not a matter you got to. It's a matter we need to. We need it. We need prayer, personal prayer, public prayer, small group prayer, prayer partners. We need prayer that centers us in God. Brendan Manning, in his book, Ragamuffin Gospel, wrote, "Christianity is not primarily a moral code, but a grace-laden mystery. It's not essentially a philosophy of love. It's a love affair. It's not keeping rules with clenched fists, but receiving a gift with open hands." I like his subtitle, "Good News for the Bedraggled, Beat Up, and Burnt Out." So what are some of the challenges you face? We can be called and gifted, prepared and ordained to be disciples of Jesus, but if we do not remain in constant contact with the source of our power, we will fail in crises. Here's some major challenges. Maintain focus on our mission to introduce people to Jesus. I've run out of time. I wanted to talk about, I asked you to be praying for 10 people. We didn't fail. I don't see 10 people. I don't have them. But here's my confidence. When we enter into prayer for people, God's at work. And we don't know all that's been done. Build one another up. Preparation for pastoral leadership in 2016. Folks, I'm inviting you to prayer. Oh, there'll be temptation in conversations. We need this, we need that, we need to do this, we need to do that. We've got this concern, we've got that concern. At 10 people, depend on who the strongest voice is in that setting. And those are important conversations. Just keep loving. But are you spending as much time praying about it as you are discussing it? I ask you to pray for our board members. I've asked Becky on a regular basis, just every once in a while, list the names of our board. Pray for our board members by name. Big task. Be praying, please, for Ken Mills, our district superintendent. He's working with some other churches that are in transition, retiring pastors, and he's got some difficult situations, and he's preparing for his own retirement. We are so blessed to have a man of his quality. Pray for him by name. Would you pray for me? Proper spirit. Focus. One of the biggest concerns for a person at my stage of the journey is lose emphasis, lose touch. Pray that I'll keep alert, keep us focused, keep centered. Jesus calls us to prayer. I thought there was another one in there. Sorry about that. This kind can be cast out only by prayer, Jesus said. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this mountain be removed. Nothing will be impossible. Anything is possible as we center our faith in Jesus. I had a couple of ideas of how I wanted to pull this message to a close, and Friday morning on my way into the study, I heard this song. Wow. You talk about a gift. So I hurried up, drove a little faster, got out, sent an all-point email bulletin to the praise team. I said, hey, I just heard this song. You think you can work it out? And then I remembered Ben's on, so I hurried up, and Ben and I had a couple of email, and he got back to me a few minutes later. He'd pulled it up and listened to it, and he says, we're on it. We got it. And so they're going to do it. Now, there's one thing about this song. The title is More Than We Are More Than Conquerors. You can't sing it sitting down. You just can't. Some of you probably heard it. I'm a little slow on the uptake on things. So here's my request. Would you stand and follow along, and then as you start getting along, pick up the refrain, join with it, because I'm not just saying, let's all pray. I'm saying, we've got a God who loves us more than we can imagine. We've got a God who is a conqueror in all things. We've got a God who is our hope, and he is the one that's going to lead us through 2015. So I invite you to stand. Ben, take it away.